Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Born to Succeed podcast, the number one podcast on the planet for helping you succeed on both a personal and professional level, where every podcast we bring you motivation, inspiration, faith, hope, and love, and we remind you that you are born to succeed.
Hey, listen!
Hey, don't go nowhere. We've got more coming at you.
That's right, y'all.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Born to Succeed podcast, the number one podcast on the planet for helping you succeed on both a personal and professional level. I am your humble goat. Yes, Michael Merritt. I am so grateful today and humble, guys, to have an amazing guest on the show. This guy has been an entrepreneur for a very long time. He's a coach, he's an author, he's a businessman. He is a guy that is just out there serving others. And when you hear his story, you're going to really resonate. It's going to resonate with you. And so I'm really grateful to have this guy on the show today. Without further ado, I want to bring on Mr. Chris Felton. Mr. Chris Felton, welcome to the show. How are you doing, sir?
Michael, I'm better than ever, man. Appreciate you having me. So, looking forward to it.
Excellent, excellent. So, for the listeners that are all around, no doubt, where are you coming from today, Mr. Felton?
Castle Rock, Colorado. Yes, sir. 30 degrees out, but the sun's out, so we'll take it.
Good, good. Well, for those that listen to Dallas, listen to the Born to Succeed podcast, we're in Dallas, Texas, so I'm a little bit away from you, but hey, I love Colorado. So, Mr. Felton, real quick, tell me what it is that you do. I mean, we're going to get into some different things about you, but real quick, tell us who you are and what you do.
Yeah, I've been a financial services entrepreneur for 23 years and just, you know, grown other entrepreneurs and got a group of about 200 agents spread out across the United States. We've helped, you know, 20,000 or more people just, you know, level up their lives and get more financially literate. And then I've been a, you know, author, speaker, you know, trainer in that organization for, you know, for a long time. And I wrote a book in 2011 called Couples Money with my wife. And then been writing my latest book that just went live on Amazon today for the last 14 months. And just, you know, excited to impact as many people as possible. So that's how I roll.
Great, great, great. So get it today. There you go. There's the punch. So the name of the book is, of course, Think and Grow You, with the subtitle of How to Get Out of Your Own Way and Level Up Your Life. I love it. Tell me about that title. Where did that come from?
Yeah, I mean, I wrote it because, you know, having been an entrepreneur, Michael, for 23 years, like, I know what it's like to be stuck. I don't know if you've ever been stuck, but, you know, I know what it's like to live in fear, doubt, and worry. I also know what it feels like. I don't know if you've ever felt like this, where you feel like you're doing everything possible, but, like, nothing changes. you're Bill Murray in Groundhog Day, right? Like,
yep.
It's just... it's such a horrible place to be, and I was so severely stuck. And it's painful as a coach to watch people get so stuck that they feel like quitting on their goals and dreams is really the only way.
Yeah.
And I was really, really close to doing that, but I didn't. And I realized that I needed to change significantly. I had to humble down. I had to do a lot of work on me, and I did. And, you know, an amazing things have come from that, lots of blessings, but that's really what the book is about, is how I got unstuck and teaching people how to do the same.
Right, absolutely, because a lot of times we can be very busy, but we're really not getting a lot done, right? And so we need to be intentional with our actions, and so that way we really force it towards where we really need to go. And that happens a lot of times. People are just spinning their wheels and doing so much every day. And I know I definitely felt that way a bunch of times myself. Like, I'm just doing so much, but the needle is not moving. And then when I talk to a coach and they say, well, you need to delegate that. And why are you trying to do that? Because you're not an email guy. And Mike, you don't design websites, so why are you trying to do that? You know? And I realized, you know what? I need to do more of the stuff that I'm good at and less of the other stuff, and maybe I'll move the needle a little more. And so I definitely have felt in that stuck wheel. And I tell people that same thing all the time. I'm here to get you from stuck to unstuck, from A to B. So I love that. Yeah. So that's why you wrote the book. And so what's your story kind of leading up to where you got into this business? I mean, where did you grow up and what made you want to go into the financial business and to serve others to begin with?
Yeah, I just grew up in Loveland, which is like 60 miles north of Denver, and, you know, went to Colorado State University, got an accounting degree, and then moved to Denver in 93. And I spent 7 years as a CPA at a big six public accounting firm. And, you know, I call it the moment of truth. I just got off of working 120 hours in a 6 day period to hit a deadline. And, you know, I come in and I'm exhausted. And the last thing I want to do is have a family intervention with my brother. And that's what happened. He was like, dude, where have you been? We were living together. He didn't know what happened to me. And he kind of got in my kitchen on it. And he got me to do the thing, Michael, I didn't want to do, which is actually think. Right. And so the next day I sat down and I wrote on a pad of paper, what do I want my ideal life to look like? And it's a phenomenal exercise because most people don't do it. And I sat there and kind of fought myself for about 20 minutes. And then I call it, once I kind of broke that crust, then, you know, I was flowing. And it was like the first time in my life I was actually dreaming about a better life. And it was exciting, you know, because my dream machine was dead because I was busy. And so I was excited about that, but then I got depressed because I looked at the vehicle I was in. I'm like, man, dude, this is never going to happen being an employee. So I called it the moment of decision, and it was, I either need to change my vehicle and hold that image of what I want, or do what most people do. They pull back, they retreat, they settle, they shrink the dreams to fit inside their current reality, and they get to the end of their life safe and in comfort with lots of regrets. And so the journey began, and it was a year before I tripped over my financial services entrepreneur business. And but that was the vehicle that, you know, I've been very blessed that's delivered for me and my family in a significant way.
Yeah, you're exactly right. A lot of people are just, they want to step out in there, and then they get kind of in that mode of, I'm going to take the action, and then the fear of failure or fear of taking a risk or fear of all those different fears that we have start kicking in, and they go, well, I'm just going to step back. Status quo is good. I just get that paycheck every 2 weeks. I have the benefits, right? When they really want to step out and they see different things that people do, or they want to make more money, or they want to serve more people, they just stop. And so I think that's really important there. I think the first two parts of that, what you said though, was first you stopped and thought, right, for a little bit, right? Because we have to have insight before we can ever start making a choice. And then we can take action and be committed, but we have to have insight first. And so we have to stop and think. And then the second thing you said is wrote it down, right? I mean, how many people say it? I mean, I hear it all the time. Write it down, right? Because if you didn't write it down, it really didn't happen. And people say, oh, I want to do this or I want to do that. And then boom, it's gone. They forget about it, or they just don't stay committed to it. If you write it down, then it's there in front of us, right? Same with goals. How many people never set goals? They throw this number out. It's like 97% of people never set goals. You're like, how could that be that high? But
yeah,
they don't set goals. You're like, do you set goals? Oh my God, I don't want to set myself up for disappointment. You're already disappointing yourself because you're not setting a goal in a path. What are you talking about? So, but yeah, definitely those are some great things. And so this is your second book, is that correct?
Yeah, yes, sir. Yeah.
Very good. And you're coaching, do you do coaching as well as speaking?
You know, my main thing is the book, and it's written in such a format that I kind of have an unlimited, you know, combination of keynote talks in there as well as workshops. So, and then I'm going to be creating some new digital content on that, but it's mainly the book, speaking workshops, and that's the stuff that juices me. So.
Very good. Now, your subtitle mentions how to get out of your own way, and it's a big part of the book. So what do you mean by that? What do you mean by getting out of your own way?
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, it's not about getting perfect. And it's, you know, one of my quotes in the book is, you know, we're a miracle and a mess at the same time, right? It's about the awareness of you know, like getting really clear on what we want. And then, you know, there's an infinite amount of, you know, self-sabotaging patterns. You know, there's perfectionism. There's, you know, I need to know everything. Everything needs to be mapped out before I go. There's just a multitude of things that, you know, we hold ourselves back and we don't really recognize the pattern, but it's not someone else that's holding us back. It's us. It's fear. It's worry. It's doubt. It's over preparation. It's overthinking. You know, overthinking always masks fear. It's those things. And so, you know, and that's really, you know, there's five different pillars in the book, and the first two are, you know, get out of your own way, right? Like the awareness, and, you know, and I'm real clear. I'm, you know, Michael, I'm not a guru. I haven't figured it out. I haven't arrived. But man, I've become a student of how I kind of screw myself over. And so I'm able to recognize the self-sabotaging patterns before they even begin, which took some work, but then, you know, you become aware of it, you stop the train from running. And then the second pillar is, you know, shifting. Like, what do you do to shift? So that's what I mean by getting out of your own way. What are the patterns that you have that cause you to not get what you want?
Yeah, because we all have those patterns, and like you said, if we can recognize that pattern, then we can maybe fix it before it happens, or instead of reacting to that, we can respond to that. Because if we already have a plan and I know something's triggering me, then maybe I can respond to that in a better way instead of reacting to it, because it's just coming at me like an arrow and I just react and move and dodge. So yeah, that's great stuff. So what's happened in the last few years, the majority of people are stuck, right? And they're stuck for a lot of reasons. And, you know, what are the keys that you think of are really to becoming unstuck? What do people really kind of, where do you think that they need to start?
Well, I think stuck happens from being in a resistant state, and what resistance is what is happening shouldn't be happening. Right. And, you know, the pandemic was horrific, and, you know, I'm in financial services, and, you know, we had like a 30% stock market drop in like 3 days. Right. And so I could feel the fear and the worry, and, you know, my heart shuts down. And when my heart shuts down, I start spinning stories. So I was in resistance. But once again, that's a sabotaging pattern I have, but I'm human. Like that's just going to happen. Right. And instead of like stopping what was going on, it took shape, and then it took root, and then it started festering. Right. But then I realized, okay, you need to get to acceptance. And I had a great coach that worked with me for 4 years. He was just like, Chris, you don't need to love it, but you really need to stop hating it. And so I didn't like the pandemic, but I needed to really quickly, because I lead a pretty large organization. I had to get to, hey, it is what it is.
Right.
I don't love it. I don't hate it. I'm praying for everybody. You know, I'm doing what I can, but there's a lot I can't control here.
Right.
So within a few days, I got into acceptance. You know, and I was very fortunate, a lot of great mentors around me, and I reached out to them. I'm like, hey, I'm kind of scared here. Like, what the hell, you know, what are we doing? And I know better than when I get in a resistant state, Michael. Like what most people do is they retreat, they pull back, and they think that's the way to go. And it's not, but I started reaching out to mentors, and we just got into, hey, it is what it is. And we accepted it, and then we pivoted. And you know, we went virtual. We had a record 2020, 2021, 2022. I mean, everything changed. But the quicker it takes for me to get to acceptance, you know, and the example I use in the book is, what happens when we get a flat tire? We go, crap, right? We're like, this shouldn't be, right? Like, who didn't fix that pothole? What's going on with this? And so we go through these mental gymnastics until we get to the point where it's like, we just need to accept we have a flat tire, right? And the flat tire doesn't care if you're sitting there cussing, kicking the car, kicking the flat tire.
Right.
And you know, so I was very fortunate to have a coach who said, "Man, hey, because I was in a disaster, dude. I was $250,000, $250,000 in credit card debt. My wife was walking out the door. I'm in financial services. It's Great Recession. I was horrible and I was resisting it. And finally, my coach was like, going, dude, you can't create anything new until you get to the point where you accept it. And then once you accept it, the only two relevant questions are, what do I want and what's next? So in the instance of a flat tire, what do I want? I want to be back on the road. Okay, great. What's next? Get the jack. Let's go.
Right.
And I can be miserable in that process, or I can at least bring a little bit of calm peace to it while I'm changing the tire.
Right.
And that's hopefully that made sense what I was saying, but that's, you know, what am I resisting? And it's always a good question that I have to answer.
Yeah. Instead of focusing on the problem, focus on the solution, right? I mean, the problems happen, so boom, now how do we fix it? Let's go. Yeah, and you're right. So many people get focused in on that, whatever happened to me, and then you're like, okay, well, it happened. Let's move on from it, right? But so many people just get stuck in that rut, that past. Oh, here's what's happened to me again, and so that's going to hold me from even my future games because this is what's already happened. And they're just, you know, it's almost like being scared, being shot by somebody, and you haven't been shot yet. You're not in that environment, stop, you know, but they'll fall back to that, you're right. So what was the turning point that woke you up? I mean, that was the pandemic, and it was really like your coach that was like, you need to snap out of it? I mean, what is it that really woke you up, and then you did that next? What was the next step?
Yeah, it was actually about 12 years earlier, you know, because I at least I developed the tools to get through the pandemic a lot better, right? Because of what I went through. But no, I created a financial disaster. I went through a divorce. My kids moved to the other side of the country. They were very small. You know, I'm paying my ex-wife $5,200 a month. I'm on the lease. I got a stupid office lease I can't afford. And then my second and last wife, Marlo, you know, walks into this situation, and I looked successful, but she didn't know what a disaster I had created.
Right.
And through, you know, just working on myself, I gave up control of the finances to her, which was the greatest financial decision I've ever made in my life. Because based on results, I didn't know what the hell I was doing, even though I'm a financial advisor and a CPA. but it was my money belief systems were a mess. But basically I ran out of money, and you know, we had to get a rented home, and I mean it was bad, dude. And
yeah.
And I had to come home, and I had to pay my ex-wife $5,200 the next day, and I had to go to my wife and convince her to give me the money out of her savings to pay my ex-wife. I don't know if it's ever happened in mankind history. And you know, she's 5'1". Everyone's scared of her. You know, Hurricane Marlo is ugly, and we call it the purse throwing incident because she picked up her purse, and thank God she's a horrible aim, but she threw it, and then she picked it up and threw it, and then she picked it up and threw it, and you know, Michael started counting on her fingers, and then I'm like, well, why are you still married to me? And dead silence, and she went upstairs to ponder, should I stay or should I go?
Yeah.
And that was my awakening, brother. I sat there and I'm like, OMG. I could literally just see the dominoes fall. I'm like, my ex-wife never had a chance. My kids haven't seen me in 9 months because I don't have enough money to get down there and see them. The debt. I mean, the stress was so huge financially that it was physically impacting my wife.
Yeah.
And then that's when I realized, dude, I'm like, I'm the common denominator to everything that's going on here. And it was at that point, I took 100% responsibility. I'm like going, oh my God. So thank God we got back the next day, and Marlo's like, all right, we're staying together. We're not declaring bankruptcy. We're not getting jobs. She got on planes, trains, and automobiles to interview, you know, wealthy couples to figure out what they do. And then she's like, what are you gonna do? I'm like, I'm gonna figure out how my mindset keeps creating broke. And I just told her, I'm not interested, I'm committed. I am all in on figuring this out, because it had been generations of broke in my family.
Yeah.
And so the challenge was handed to me to shift that. And so that's what I did, man. I got up in the morning, studied, visualized, image, wrote, journaled. If you would have told me to stand on my head for an hour, I would have done it. I treated it, and I still do it like an Olympic athlete would treat their sport. I was all in, and it didn't happen overnight, but it happened over time, and we had a jaw-dropping financial transformation. And it's been amazing. It just keeps getting better all the time. But that was the turning point. Yes, sir.
Yeah. And that's kind of what it takes sometimes, right? Is sometimes we're kind of one foot in, one foot out. We're, I want to be in and I want to give everything. And sometimes we don't realize we're really not giving everything we have, that accountability of whatever it takes, right? Not, I'm going to do whatever I can, but I think the whatever it takes mentality is especially as an entrepreneur, you got to have that, right? I was looking at some of your videos, and as I follow you on Facebook a little bit, I was watching some of your stuff, and I like some stuff like reversing discouragement. Now, I know we say all the time, people say it to me all the time, can't control your thoughts. Yeah, to a degree we can. I mean, obviously we have 80,000 thoughts a day to pop into our head, but we can control them from that moment, right? And we can reverse them. Tell me a little bit about that. I watched your video. I want our listeners to know a little bit about what you were talking about when you were saying about reversing discouragement.
Yeah, I got a talk I'm giving on Saturday to a bunch of people, and this is the topic. And it's, discouragement is, it's evil, and it's insidious, and it just kind of plants itself in there. And it takes root, and it's nasty. And the more you grow, like, you become aware of it. And I at one point, right around 2008, when all that stuff was going down, I mean, I was massively discouraged.
Sure.
And I didn't know it. My ego was in control. And now I know the pattern looking back. I think the grass is greener someplace else, right? And I was discouraged in my marriage. I was discouraged in my business. So obviously it's not me, it's somebody else. Totally untrue, total sabotaging pattern. The grass is greener where you water it. I start retreating, right? I kind of close myself off. I don't reach out. And I'm stuck with my dysfunctional thoughts, and then I call it quitter's relief. It's a chapter in my book. Quitter's relief is a lie, is the name of the chapter, and quitting starts looking attractive.
Sure.
And it's a total lie, and you have an initial relief, but like a sugar high, you have a big crash. You have a crash in self-confidence, self-esteem, those things. And so I was, I wasn't quitting, but I was beginning to take those steps. And then I reached out to a bunch of mentors, four of them, and scheduled meetings with them. And, encouragement is, giving courage to others.
Right.
And so they encouraged me. They got me vision focused versus problem focused. And then I realized that, who encourages the encourager? Well, I have to have a routine to encourage myself. And so I'm a big morning routine guy, and a lot of people have heard about that. But, I tell my guys, I'm like, when I wake up in the morning, I'm often discouraged. And I can't imagine running out of the house discouraged. Pigpen from peanuts, Eeyore from poo. And you vibrate, and that's what you get. So, I do a 30-minute, hour, whatever it takes to take ownership of my thinking, prayer, visualization, Bible time, whatever, imaging, reading my plan out loud with emotion and feeling, all that stuff, whatever I got to do.
Yeah.
But I have to reverse the discouragement, and it's on me. And it kills more dreams than anything I've ever seen. And you got to do something about it.
That's what I was going to say. That right there is the action, right? That's the most important thing, to do something about it.
And I'm actually closing the talk on Saturday with, it's okay to get discouraged. It's not okay to stay there.
Exactly, right? I mean, because you can fall into a puddle. You don't drown unless you just stay there in it, right? Yeah, Mr. Zig said that a long time ago. The only way I drowned is by just staying in it. Yeah, no doubt. I've got a morning routine. And for those that listen to the show, I talk about it all the time. I used to, back in the day, never have a morning routine. And since I started my morning routine, it really changed my life. For me, I do about an hour, 10 minutes. So before I'm leaving anywhere, I'm like, what time am I leaving the house? Okay, I'm leaving the house at 7. I'm up at 5:50. I'm leaving the house at 6. I'm up at 4:50. I'm normally up at 4:30 to 5 anyway. But
yeah, give me
it's
both.
Always an hour or 10 minutes. And it gives me time to get up, read my Bible app. I have an inspiration book. I spend some time just being silent. I just have this routine. It's coffee and contemplation, and it's just not getting up and rushing out the door. And I always tell people, it's just putting on that armor every day, right?
Amen.
Ephesians can say it, you know, that I can follow it. Just put on that armor every day. But if I don't start the day that way, I almost walk out of the house feeling like I don't have my armor on. I feel empty. I feel
Amen.
Like I jumped up and went out, and I didn't make a plan for the day, and I didn't stop and thank God. And right on the back of one of my Zig Ziglar books that I have, an encouragement book, is Psalm 118:24, and I say it every day, you know, this is the day the Lord has made, let's rejoice and be glad in it. And that's one of the first things I say, and so it just reminds me every day of where I started and to be thankful and spend a few minutes and get the morning going. And so I think morning routine is a great thing. I know in one of your videos I saw that you're talking about self-affirmations, and I think self-affirmations are so important. I've got a podcast on that, several podcasts back, where I just woke up at 4 o'clock one morning and God told me that day, make a podcast called I Am, and say I am to everything you say, Mike, and then some. And that was a podcast. I just said, guys, you kind of talk to I am great, I am, and just start the mornings that way. And I use an example of a guy that I saw that he said, initially when I first started that, man, I was drugging and drinking alcohol, and I was a loser, and I had no money, and I had nothing. And I just thought, what could it hurt, man? And so I started doing it, but then I would tell myself, shut up, no, you're not. I'm really great, no, you're not. I'm really awesome, no, you're not. I'm a believer, no, you're not. And he said, and I would just go back and forth with myself. And then I finally started to get to a point where I didn't say that, no, you're not anymore. I am great. I believe in myself. And then he said, next thing you know, I was like believing what I was telling myself. And then it kind of started going from there, you know. So I truly believe in self-affirmations. When people say, oh, that sounds a little silly to say that stuff to yourself. Hey, you got to say it to yourself and feel yourself, right? Because if we don't, I mean, you might get that from somebody else, but you have to start with yourself, right?
Yeah, I mean, your life turns out based on what you repetitively tell yourself and the images you hold in your mind, period.
Wow.
And I think the chapter in my book is called Affirm What You Want. And I talk about it, and I said, hey, you know, there's a group of people that think that affirmations don't work, and there's a group that think they do. And they're both right.
Right.
They're both right. And you know what? My back was against the wall. I didn't like my results. And I'm a recovered CPA, right? I'm a left brain dude. They seem weird to me, but I'm like, you know, what my coach used to say is, Chris, based on results, how's your way working? Hated that question.
Wow. Yeah.
He said, based on results, how's your way working? And so I'm like, based on results, I'm not affirming. I actually am affirming. I am using affirmations. I'm using them in a negative way. Right. So they obviously work because I am affirming that.
Right.
So I got psycho about it. You know, and once again, I'm like, what do I have to lose? Like, and it, yeah, anyway, but I talk, I'm like, they're both right.
Yeah.
Well, they don't work.
We're like a wave, right? We put out,
yeah.
We're magnets. I mean, you put out positivity, you're going to get positive. You put out negativity, you're going to get negative back, right?
Amen.
Yeah. So you were talking about that quote, and I had that actually written down as a question, that quote a minute ago. You said, we're a miracle and a mess at the same time. And I just love that. Tell me, what does that mean? I mean, expand on that just a little bit in what your perspective is.
Yeah, I mean, and I talk about in the book, like, you know, people, we're talking about affirmation and, you know, beating yourself up and, you know, just all that garbage. And, you know, the law of growth is, I mean, basically all personal development dials into the law of growth and where you focus on expands. So, you know, perfectionism is a form of self-sabotage. Here's all these things that are wrong with me. And when we show up as perfect babies, like, we don't have any of that garbage going on. Like, right. We feel we deserve love. We give love. We are love. And then we get programmed, and then we add all this layer of garbage. And I think personal development's all about getting back to that state of that. And it's one of the reasons I have better energy at 51 than I did at 41 than I did at 31, Michael, is just, I've released a lot of freaking garbage. And so, yeah. and part of that is just, yeah, I got the good, I got the bad. I'm a human. I got things I got to work on, but you know, I love, approve, and accept in myself. Am I perfect? Far from it. I'm flawed, but heck, like, I'm a miracle and I'm a mess. I do stupid stuff all the time, but there's some amazing stuff I do as well.
Right.
So that, you know, just loving yourself. I mean, I don't know, it might be a little cliche, but, that's the gist. And you and I are believers, and I mean, you're loved by a Heavenly Father, right? And
yep. Yep.
I don't think he digs it too much when you're not loving of yourself. So
that's right. I mean, it's, you hear all the time, God doesn't make junk, you know?
Yeah, God does not make junk.
Yeah, for no, sure. You exactly said it. It's kind of cliche to say it. You know, you can't love anybody else unless you love yourself. But it really is true. When you don't love yourself, you end up sabotaging, using that word you used earlier, yourself, and all your relationships. All of them, right? And then yep. Down the line, when you look at it, just like me, married 3 times, got an amazing wife, Christ follower. She's my rock. She's my everything. When I look at all of the things that have happened in relationships, I look back and go, what's the number one common denominator? It was me.
Yeah.
It was me and the mistakes I've made. But I think of that same thing you say. I say, you know what? My greatest mess becomes my greatest message. I can share my mess with you. Hopefully that resonates. Somebody else goes, I'm going through the same thing. Tell me how you came to the other side. And then we resonate, whether it's financial difficulties, divorces, love, relationships, all the things that we hope that we can make better on every spectrum, because we do have that wheel of life, spiritual, mental, physical. But we know, right? Our mess sometimes becomes our message, and it's the greatest inspiration of other people when we can tell a story and they go, wow, you're where you are today. And that's what you went through. That's amazing. Tell me more, because that's where I'm at right now. And I want to get where you're at, right? I want to feel better at 51 than I do at 31. And I certainly know, and I've been through there. And then I've certainly had that same thing, conversations with other people, and then go, wow, I didn't know that about you. Just knowing you, like, just knowing this positive, motivational guy, I would have never thought, man, you've been married 3 times, and this and this. And I'm like, look, you know, we're human, right? Yeah. And then we all make mistakes. And sometimes when you don't have really good role models growing up, you have a more mistakes that you make and some learning along the way that becomes hard-headed learning sometimes. So that becomes hard, right? But of course, with yours and your business and everything, it seems to me that you kind of fit the same kind of thing that I do. And it's just growth and service to others, right? And yeah. I saw somewhere in one of your things, you said growth and service to others is the only way to true fulfillment. And I just Amen. Thought, wow, that's just an amazing statement to make, right?
Yeah.
So just a couple other quick questions, man, and then we'll let you go off here. I know you've got some other things to do. The book that you have out has 5 pillars. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And what is that based around? What was the reason that you decided with 5 pillars distinctively? Was there a certain reason for that?
I had a coach, a personal development icon, a guy named Steve Siebold. I mean, he's the one that reached out to me in November of 21. He's like, I've been hearing you speak for a decade. It's time to write a book. I'll coach you. Your content, I'll coach you how to write a book that flows, it's tight. No filler, no fluff. Steve sold 3.5 million books. Wow. And we grinded on the first draft. Took us 9 months, brother, like 9 months. And I would literally take a concept, send it over. He would, you know, I mean, we would go back and forth. Like, it's, you know, I bled that book out.
Yeah.
And so he said, come up with 50 concepts and with 50 stories. And so I was able to break it down into 5 different pillars, and it's, you know, get out of your own way and you know, shifting. Relationships is its own pillar. We cover forgiveness and all sorts of things in there. I think I got a great forgiveness story. Game planning. I had a coach that taught me the how-tos on how to actually, you know, he said, you're a great goal setter, you're a horrible goal achiever. Just stuff like that. And then really the dream and the clarity of it. The focusing on what you want and all that. And so the book is designed that, you know, somebody can literally pull up the table of contents and go, you know what, how did Chris let worry go? You know, how did Chris let go of deserving this? How did Chris forgive his ex-wife? How did, you know, because it's very much, okay, here's the instruction and here's the action steps that I took. And then here's the story. And the story's very much like, I was a jackass. I realized I was a jackass. I shifted and then, you know, got some semblance of success in that area because I changed my thinking. And that's, you know, I changed my thinking and I grew me. That's the book. It's not necessarily play on thinking, grow rich. It's really, I changed my thinking and I grew me and got different results. So that's the gist of the book. So my hope is, there's a lot of books that are ongoing resources for me. I really hope that's what this is for people. They can just pull up a table of content, the table of contents, pick a topic, do an exercise and shift their thinking.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the biggest things, right? Thinking or mindset, because if your mind is already set, we're in trouble. We have to be able to move, right? I mean, I still remember years ago reading a book, Who Moved My Cheese? Yep. And still think back to that book and go, wow, that was a pretty powerful little book I read, going, man, you gotta be able to bounce, right? And so I have some other questions on here, but I'm just gonna get one more out of you real quick and then we'll get you off here. Actually, you just talked about, it was about forgiveness. And it said on here, you know, explain why forgiveness is so important and crucial to happiness and success. Why, in your opinion, is that so important to be able to have success and happiness to move on?
I think we come to this life and we all want to have peace. And I don't think you can have peace unless forgiveness is the way to peace. You just can't have it. And I think it's one of the reasons why I have more energy at 51 is, you know, I forgave myself. And it was, you know, I hired a coach and we did our first session together. And, you know, he's like, okay, here's your homework assignment. And I'm thinking it's, you know, strategy and tactics. And he said, you got to forgive your ex-wife. And I'm like, she's a horrible person. Like, what are you talking about? He's like, here you go, dude. You want to be a broke joke your entire life? And he used other colorful language. Uh-huh. He's like, you want to be a broke joke your entire life? Don't forgive her.
Yep.
And I said, well, how do I do it? He said, when we're done, grab a pad of paper, write her name at the top. And I want you to write down everything you appreciate about her. Michael, I've never stared at a blank piece of paper for an hour before.
Right.
And I'm like, God, he's so right, man. The resentment is so ginormous.
Right.
And it's an energy leak. It's such a leak. And so I write, okay, she's a great mom. I wrote that. Took me an hour to get there. Right. And then I did it the next day. And then yeah. I did it the next day, the next day, the next day, the next day. And then about 3 weeks in, I just, you know, could go for a jog and just rattle off and, hey, maybe she's my greatest teacher. And, you know, and so just all these things started running through my mind. And, you know, how the mind works. I mean, new neural pathways starts, right, cropping up. And then it was like, happy birthday, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Thanks for everything you do for our kids. So we never had like the formal forgiveness conversation.
Right.
But dude, I'm telling you, the blessings that have come from that exercise could fill an entire book. And I made a commitment several years ago that, you know, I was going to end every keynote on that topic because I think people are really bad at it. And I'll come off stage and I'm like, yeah, that was awesome. You know, I delivered a lot of great content. And there's a line waiting for me. And the only thing people want to talk about. They're like, wait. The reason I'm stuck, you're telling me I have to forgive X.
Wow. Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, how's your way working based on results? And anyway, it's huge. And the last chapter is called It's Worth It. And I can't, I gotta, it's how I'm going to end my keynote as I'm developing it, but I can't talk about it because it was a moment with me and my ex-wife, dude, that's just, holy crap. It was so powerful. It makes me emotional every time I think about it.
amazing, brother. Well, good for you for releasing that. I kind of went through the exact same thing. It was my pastor that said the same thing. You got to forgive. And I said, no. And I said that over and over. And he said, you have to. You're never going to move on, Mike. You know, she doesn't even know that you're upset. You're, you know, she doesn't know the things that she, how you feel. You're just wasting every energy that you have. I have to forgive. I said the same thing. How do I do that? You say it every single time that you think something wrong. Every time you're mad, oh, I forgive. Every time you think that thought of, she screwed me over, I don't have a retirement, I lost a house, whatever, then yeah, but I forgive her for that. And I would kind of do like the self-affirmation guy I talked about earlier. I'd go, I forgive her. No, I don't. I forgive her. No, I don't. And then after a while, I kind of was able to go, okay, I forgive her and stop saying that no, I don't part. And then once I finally did release that and go, you know what? I'm not going to hold that anymore. That's just energy. I'm just balling up in here, and I have way better things to do with all that energy. I just felt like a weight was lifted off of me. And like you said, I would see her at different events and functions, and it wasn't like, oh, I can't even get close. Oh, it was, how you doing? Hope you're doing well. Hey, great. Hey, good to see you. Hey, hey, hey. And whoever she was with, I just thought, I feel sorry for that guy. All right. But that being said, I was able to
do it. That's funny.
So, well, Mr. Chris, real quick, wrapping it up, I saw one of your things, again, going back to something you said, I've watched some of your stuff, and one of your things you were talking about is that don't stare at the pothole. So I'm going to let you tell me about that, and then we'll wrap up with social media and get you off here. So tell me about that. Don't stare at the pothole. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I hired my coach, and, you know, we did an initial session, and he kind of let me whine about my life and whine about this, and he let me complain. He gave me a 2-hour wine session, and then he'd be like, okay, are you done? And I'd be like, I'm done. Well, wait, there's this and this and this and this. And he said, okay, we're done talking about the past. Right. What do we want? What do you want? What's next? And then he was like, when we're done with the call, what are you going to do for the next hour to change your life? It's a very powerful question.
Right.
And I'm like, God, that's exactly what I needed instead of eating this whole elephant that, you know, and so, you know, but the pattern of, you know, being a victim was there and all that. And then, I don't know, it was months down the road and I was complaining about something. He's just like, oh, dude, he's like 10% of your life sucks. 90% is great.
Right.
He's like, could you imagine going to Maui, finding a pothole and spending 7 days staring at the pothole?
Right. Yeah.
You'd miss all of Maui. He's like, dude, you're basically in Maui.
Right.
But you're staring at the freaking pothole.
Yeah.
Quit being a dumbass. Right?
Well, when I saw that, man, I was like, I got to get you to share that with the listeners.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just, you know, it's a law of growth, man.
We do that, right?
Where you focus expands.
Yeah. Where our focus goes, our energy flows, right?
Yeah. And one of my focusing questions is, you know, what am I focused on? What must that be creating?
Awesome. Well, man, I thank you so much for being on the show. Again, guys, the name of the book, it's out now, Think and Grow You, How to Get Out of Your Own Way and Level Up Your Life. You can check Chris out at chrisfelton.me. And then also, I think you have a weekly email, TGIM. What about that?
Yeah. Anybody that wants to get on that, it's called Thank God It's Monday.
Right.
And, I had to change my view on Mondays because I hated them.
Right. And so, an email for that, or is there another email for that?
They can go to my website and contact and say, Chris, you know, put me on it. And I think when they buy the book, they'll, you know, we'll collect their email and get them on it. But yeah, it's just once a week. And it's just some of these concepts that you and I are sharing. And yeah,
awesome. Well, last day, man, I kind of put it over to your court. I always like for the guest on the show to kind of wrap up the show, or for those listening, and any nuggets or anything that we might not talk about, or anything you just kind of want to reiterate to those listening, at hey, this is what you really need to know before I get off of this podcast today. So what do you think there?
I think, you know, your listeners are, you know, they're all about success and they're all about, you know, those things, and you know, my book is really about this like hero's journey I went through, right? And one of my chapters is, you know, work hard, but don't make hard work of it. And And it's just, we got to grind and, I have this constant scowl on my face and it's got to be hard. And, you know, where's my Rocky moment? And then I was at I heard Bob Proctor speak this like 10 years ago. And Bob Proctor's 82 at that time. And he's like, I'm going to tee it up for the next 10 years, but I'm going to do it in a calm, relaxed manner. He called it calm urgency. And I could literally just feel the stress leave my body. I'm like, calm urgency? Is that even a freaking option? And it's just, man, when you're calm and urgent and relaxed, it's phenomenal. So it doesn't always have to be hard. There's a lot of gurus out there like, it's gotta be hard, it's gotta be a grind. And I probably say four times in the book, there's no happy ending to an unhappy journey, right?
Right.
So anyway, calm, relaxed,
good,
but urgent.
It's a journey, not a destination, right?
Amen, brother.
Yeah. So for those listening, guys, thank you so much for listening, wherever you're listening from today. As I was looking through our analytics the other day, I mean, I saw Sierra Leone and Australia, Japan. I mean, I'm just blown away that we have people in other countries that are listening to this show. If you're in Dallas, Texas, or Colorado, doesn't matter. This show is all about you. I say it all the time. You can have everything you want in life if you just help enough others get what they want and need. And we wrap up the show, guys, the same way every time. Remember to treat others as you want to be treated. But that's the golden rule. Remember, if you want a better life, give more to others around you. If you want a better relationship with your husband or wife or children or neighbors or coworkers, be a better husband, coworker, neighbor, or friend. And then those relationships will come back to you, because as Mr. Chris said, we are all magnets. We put out waves. What are the waves you're getting back? Hey, send out some good ones. You'll get some good ones back. And remember, you are born to succeed. That's what this podcast is all about. Life is short. It's a journey, not a destination. And remember, you are blessed and you're born on purpose with a purpose. Until next time, thank you so much for listening to Born to Succeed podcast. Check Mr. Chris Felton out. Check that book out today. Don't wait. You'll miss out. Have an amazing day. Until next time, be blessed. Bye-bye. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to the Born to Succeed podcast. We certainly appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule today to listen to our podcast, and we hope our message has resonated with you and makes an impact on your life. Reach out to us at merittcoachinggroup@gmail.com. Find us on all of our social media platforms, Michael Merritt or the Born to Succeed podcast. It is, again, my honor and privilege to bring you a podcast. We hope that this brings some value to your life. And we, Ethan, thank you so much for your time and listening and your support. If this message has resonated with you, please share it with somebody else. Subscribe, rate our show, and until next time, have an amazing, magnificent, blessed day and week. And thank you again. Bye-bye.